Well, who needs to preach after all that? Ted, it doesn't get any better than this. So I bless you young people for sharing this morning. Those testimonies were precious, and especially knowing that they come from your hearts and they were honest. And I know Brother Nathan has borne the lion's share of the discipleship work in our classes together, and I bless him for his efforts there. But it's been a joy to me to engage a few times with you all and just see the depth that's in your hearts, and I appreciate hearing your words. But more than the words you shared this morning, I appreciate seeing the choices, the hard choices that you're making in practical life. And yes, it's the beginning of a journey. It's the beginning of a walk, but it's a meaningful walk. And to hear the sisters share here and to know the blessings that you were able to enjoy together just thrilled my heart. Yes, Brother Ted, we have a future, but it's because he's in it. It's because he's in it. And honestly, you preached my message already this morning. So I think we'll just talk about a few more things for a few more minutes and see if God can pour an additional blessing upon us. But I'd like to just stand to our feet together and give him thanks, as we've enjoyed so much already here today. Dear God, as we bow our hearts and our heads before you, in this moment, in this service here today, thank you for the time that we've been able to share together here this morning. Thank you, dear God, for who you are and for the work that you have done in our lives, for the hope that you hold out for us. Thank you, Lord, for the decisions that you brought to the hearts of each one of these young people who shared testimonies with us here this morning and are choosing to follow you, choosing to commit their lives to you, choosing to walk with you. And I just pray your blessing upon each of them in a very special way as they continue this journey. And as we all look forward to baptism, Lord, in another month, and indeed I wish it could be today, but Lord, we look forward to that event, and we just pray that you will continue to pour your grace and your spirit upon them and prepare their hearts for that, and may it be a stepping stone in their lives and for us as a church as well, as we baptize new believers into your kingdom. And Lord, we know it's just the sealing of the choice that they've already made. Thank you, Lord, for what the sisters shared this morning and the clear testimony of that song. Lord, help each of us to set our goals high that you might be able to fill our lives with your spirit and with your power. And Lord, as we're gathered together here this morning, this little church at Ephrata, I pray you'll fill our hearts with vision and desire for you so that you can be manifest through us. Lord, we just commit our time to you this morning, the remaining time that we have, and just pray that the anointing of your spirit would be upon every minute, that it could be an inspiration and a blessing and a challenge to all of us. And Lord, I commit this time to you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, the burden that's on my heart this morning flows very much out of our ordination here a month ago, and it's hard to believe that it's almost a month since that took place. Life just seems to happen at warp speed, doesn't slow down the older I get. But my heart's been full for this last month and continue to ponder a lot of things. And I just want to bless you as a congregation for the support and love and endurance. You know, those months of waiting did me a lot of good. I can certainly see that God worked some things in my life that were a blessing to me through that time. And I think it did all of us some good. It drew our hearts together in some special ways. We learned patience. We learned to wait on the Lord, even when perhaps the path wasn't completely apparent to us. All of that, and just the fact that God brought us through all of that to the other side, and here we are. I've just often marveled at God's hand and His blessing. So I want to say a heartfelt thank you. And as I have stepped into the harness alongside Brother Nathan and Brother Brian. It's been good for my heart. I sense a responsibility, but also feel like there's a very blessed group of people here to lead. God's done a lot of refinement in this congregation over the last 15 years, but 10 years especially. It's not been easy. But who we are together here today, we're here because we want to be here. We're here because we have a desire to function together as a body. And that is so important. So I'm deeply grateful to God for His leading in all of our lives and even those hard moments. You all know my life has had some brutally difficult moments, and I know yours has too. And this morning, I just want to say I'm thankful for that. God doesn't waste those moments. And it's my desire to move forward together, working shoulder to shoulder with all of you, and especially Brother Brian and Brother Nathan, as we move forward in building the kingdom of Christ here in this little corner where He's assigned us to. God's ways are not our ways, neither His thoughts our thoughts. This morning, I give Him glory. And I believe I can speak. I asked Brother Brian this morning, does he trust me to share a vision for the church at Ephrata? And he says, I do. So I'm going to share the things that God has laid on my heart, but I truly believe, as I know Brother Nathan and Brian, and we've spent a fair amount of time together in the last month, and it's been a blessing. And I think that the things that I share this morning will be their hearts also, but I certainly give them the freedom to affirm, to add to, or to subtract from if they think that needs to be any of these things. Because we do work together as a team. And I'd like to say, I know that for many of you, it was a huge sigh of relief to be able to get through that ordination with all the suspense and the waiting, with the loss of Brother Mose last year unexpectedly, and wondering what's next, wondering what's the future for the church here at Ephrata. I know that it was a big sigh of relief. But I'd like to say this, let's not relax, because the same pressing in, the same burden that we felt, the same passion that we had to pray and seek God, that same pressing in is what's going to be our continued source of God's blessing upon us as we go forward. If we now relax and think, well, we've ordained leaders, all's well, and just relax and rest, I promise you our enemy will take advantage of that. So let us not do that. And Brother Nathan and Brother Brian and I can't do this on our own. We need each one of you to be engaged as you are and as you have been. And so continue that. But we do want to take serious our responsibility to teach the meat of the Word and to bring the heart of God to this congregation and help us all grow in His will. So what is my heart to you as it relates to our church experience together? I had 6 points, I think, and I don't know that we'll get through all of them today. And I'm just going to give this time to the Lord and we'll see how far we get. Because as I was studying and God was laying this burden on my heart, some of the scriptures that I wanted to open with, I think we could spend all morning in. And I guess if God wants us there, I'm going to be okay with that. We'll just share the rest of it later, some other time. There'll be more time. But the very first point that I had is to be centered around the person of Jesus Christ and to lift up Christ as a congregation. And if I, and I'm not going to do this because I have maybe other things I'll use this board for, but if I could just put in big letters up here, Jesus Christ, and draw a circle around it, that would be what I would like to be the focus of our existence here at Ephrata Christian Fellowship. And I think as I go through this, some of what I have to share, you will understand why that's such a passion for me. Because honestly, everything flows out of that. Everything flows out of that. To center around Christ and Him crucified, and I think it was in 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 2, Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And as I considered the foundational importance of this concept for everything in our lives, from what we heard here this morning out of these young people to the fellowship that the sisters shared this weekend as they spent together, to our continued future here as a congregation, it must be wrapped around and founded in Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And you will see that as we go through that song that we sing. And I just so appreciated our return to a lot of very familiar hymns this morning, and yet so deeply meaningful. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart, every word. It's all about Him. Tell of the cross where they nailed Him. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Love, and that story so tender. And we heard about love this morning in the opening. So another song we sing so often is, "Oh, to be like Thee, Blessed Redeemer." This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. This morning, as these young people were sharing, you were hearing choice. It's not easy. The world beckons. All the pleasures, all the loves, and it competes. But oh, to be like Thee. If that can be our heart's focus, we have a future here at Ephrata. I think I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And honestly, this may be where we stay this morning. As I was going to look at a few verses towards the middle to end of this chapter, but as I started trying to figure out where to start and stop, I couldn't find a good place to start and stop. There's so much richness. There's so much depth. There's so much beauty here. And I think I'm going to just put some things on the board. Because as I listen to the testimonies of these young people, I realized, you all know what that is. It's the cross. And it's representative of the story that we sang about this morning. And so we have ourselves, I don't know if all of you can see that low, and we have a choice to make as we're going on our journey through life. We can either come to the foot of the cross, or we can take our own selfish way. Jesus calls it the broad way. And it is broad. And there's a great deal of pleasure and sin and self. And I could just put a whole bunch of things in there. And these two paths are constantly competing with each other. And as these young people gave testimony this morning of their choice, they've made a choice to go this way. And I know they won't regret it. And we're going to talk more about all of that as we go through this chapter. But I'd like to begin here in Ephesians 2 and thinking of all this in the context of making our church, the core value of our church, to be centered on Jesus Christ. And my second point, if we get to it this morning, will be to build relationship with Him. Okay? Let's just start in chapter 2 and verse 1. And please follow along with me. "And you hath He quickened," that means brought to life, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked," and here we have this walk, "ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And maybe I should just put up here Satan as the prince of the power of the air that is referred to there, and the one who, because of his rebellion against God, has gained control of the selfish instincts that we all possess as humans. And I'm going to say that that selfish instinct is there at birth. You don't have to teach a child how to be selfish. You know that. But I would like to make a strong point in that, and this is why precisely I say there's a God-sized hole in the heart of every person, because that selfishness that came as a result of sin, as we have recorded in Genesis chapter 3, was overlaid on the image of God when God created human beings. Genesis chapter 1 and into chapter 2, God made man and woman, and He made them in His own image, and man and woman were created to reflect Him. But then Genesis 3 happened, and sin came, and the choice to disobey God took place, and that brought that sin nature that overlays the image of God. And so you have these two competing forces in the heart of every person. You've got the image of God that is covered up by that sin nature. And that's what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians 2. He says, in time past, you walked according to that course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We also call him Satan, the enemy of our God. And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And I'd like to just zero in on that word spirit. You're going to see as we go along here, and this is why this focus on Jesus is so important. Because you can think that I'm going to discipline myself not to get in trouble over here. But I'd like to say it's not possible to discipline yourself enough for that. The reason being is because there's a spirit that works. And there's a spirit that works. And these are contrary the one to the other. You cannot live with the spirit and function somewhere in the middle here. Some people try to do that, but it's one of the most miserable existences you can ever have. And I'd also like to say that there is, well, Proverbs, it says that the way of the transgressor is hard, and it doesn't say it in the context of this choice, but I absolutely think it applies to this choice. The way of the transgressor is hard. And the reason that happens is because of this God-shaped hole. When you choose to go this way, you are choosing rebellion against God, just like Eve did the very first time. When Satan came to Eve and he said, yea, hath God said. Does God really mean that? And today he is still whispering all of those same doubts into the ears of whoever will listen. And so, but we have underneath that this God imprint that requires rebellion to go this way. And so just by virtue of choosing selfishness in our lives instead of choosing the way of the cross, we choose rebellion. And the way of the transgressor is hard. And what that means, and that's exactly then what Paul comes to in Romans when he says that the wages of sin is death. And you can see it over and over. And my heart bleeds when I see young people who are struggling with this choice. And so many times they're struggling with this choice partly because of corrupted Christianity that they're reacting against. And I just wish, I told a young man recently, and this sounds terrible, so take it in context here. If somebody lifted this soundbite out of my message the way the media does to people, it wouldn't sound good. But I told this young man, forget about the church. Forget about your parents. Forget about all these other people that you think aren't consistent. And think about God and His mandate and call for you. And the reason that that's such a burden on my heart is that reacting against corrupted Christianity does not change the fact that the way of the transgressor is hard. It doesn't change the price of sin. It doesn't change the consequences of choosing to live after yourself. And I know full well if that young man had continued to pursue the road he was tempted to follow, which is one of rebellion because of being disgusted with some certain things, if he continued to follow that, he's going to experience the wages of sin, which is death. At its end, it's death. And I could preach all morning on those things, but that's what Paul is talking about here. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. And again,
these young people that shared their testimonies this morning, they didn't have to learn how to be selfish. They didn't have to learn how to fight with their siblings. But it does take a surrender of that selfishness to the only one who can change that as we come to the one place where there's redemption. And we learn through relationship with Jesus Christ how to live a different way. We've all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature, because of this spirit that pervades us as we rebel, because of this spirit, we are by nature the children of wrath. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. Because the way of the transgressor is hard. By our very nature, we become that becomes our inheritance. And I know I'm not preaching any new things to you. We've heard testimonies many times that bring these things out. But God, help us to have a clear focus on what this is all about. And then I love verse 4. And those words, precious words. So this is who we were. But God. And that's probably two of the most precious words in this passage of Scripture. Because we're not doomed to go that way. God provided a different way. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. And notice, why does God love us so much? Well, for one thing, and I think maybe primarily, He created us in His image to be a reflection of who He is. That is God's greatest desire. Why did He create man in His own image? He created all the other animals. He created all the other intricate things in creation. And honestly, my mind gets boggled every time I start looking at who God is, that we can see Him defined in the world around us. Romans 1 is absolutely not exaggerating that you can know God even without any other exposure to Scripture, no preacher, nobody to tell you. If you go out with an honest heart and look in the world around you and just soak in what creation has to speak to you, it will speak to you of Him. It's amazing. But out of all that beauty of creation, why did God take man and woman and make them in His own image, different than all the other animals, different than everything else that He had made, and said it's very good? Well, I believe it was God's plan from the very beginning to have beings with whom He could communicate and beings that could reflect who He was. And I think that's why He created man that way. And you this morning, if you're here with red blood in your veins, you are one of those people. God made you in His image that way. And He wants a relationship with you. He loves you because He made you for that purpose. And I believe it grieves the heart of God when we choose rebellion, selfishness, just like it grieved His heart there in Genesis chapter 3. So God, because of His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us together with Christ. He has given us life in Christ. By grace ye are saved. And He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship. And this is speaking of those who have found redemption at the foot of the cross. We become God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And brothers and sisters, this is why I'm so passionate about Jesus being the center of our whole focus here at Ephrata Christian Fellowship. We're concerned about good works. And if and when I get to the other passages, you'll see why they're so important. Jesus said that you will be known by the fruit of your life. And so we don't want to live carelessly. And right now, we know that there's a lot of concern about us for drift that has happened, and how do we stay centered, and how do we not go the way of the world, and all of those things. But I want to tell you this morning, here is the answer. It is in relationship with Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that is going to be
where we're going to find the output that we want to see. God has before ordained that we should walk in them. It is the will of God. So young people, and I'm going to come back to this multiple times, and I'm not preaching just to the young people this morning, but I have a burden and a passion for young people because they are the future of the church. And if we're not ministering to our young people, if we're not motivating them to love the Lord with all their heart, then we're going to fail. And you heard the testimony this morning of my youngest daughter. And she will always be special to me. But to know that my last one is sharing that testimony, it gives some meaning to my gray hairs. And to see now my grandchildren coming on, that's my future. I'm going to die someday. They're going to live on. And they're the legacy of how well I have lived as a follower of Jesus. And so, bear with me as I share that burden. But my burden encompasses all of you as well. All of us together. Because the answers for the young people are the answers for all of us. And as we pursue them wholeheartedly, we'll find the life that comes behind those answers. So we are His workmanship as we give ourselves to that journey that God has before ordained that we should walk in those good works. Wherefore remember in verse 11, and I'm getting now to the verses that I was going to look at. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. And here he comes to addressing the particular conflict which comes out repeatedly through the epistles. And that is the conflict between the Gentiles who were brought into the kingdom of God and the Jews who considered themselves as having inherited it. And there were Jews who were true believers. And they did understand what it meant to trust in Christ, but they still struggled very much to be able to look at these Gentiles who had none of the heritage that they experienced, to be able to look at them the same. And there's a great many parallels that we can draw for our lives today, but that's a whole different message. But Paul's coming to that conflict as he talks about these Gentiles who walked in that selfish path in their former lives. It says, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. They're referring directly to the Jews who kept the ceremonies and kept the ceremonial law. In verse 12, he says that at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers. You had no hope of the promise that your Jewish brethren claimed to have. And you were strangers from the covenants of promise. You were having no hope and you were without God in the world. Now that's a pretty sad state of affairs if you were just stop there. It sounds hopeless and it sounds difficult. But Paul's reminding them, this is who you once were. But once again in verse 13 we have the word but now. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And now I truly love, with that being the context, what comes next here in 14 and 15. And here it gives the foundation for our existence together as a church and as a brotherhood. So he's saying that you once walked this way and you were called Gentiles. You were living after the flesh. You didn't have any claim at all to the blessings of God in your life. But now, God, working through Christ Jesus, has done something different. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You're brought close. Verse 14. For he is our peace. Who's he? Jesus. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down that middle wall of partition between us. I just love that picture. How much more beautiful can he paint it? He's broken down that middle wall of partition. If you could put on both sides of the cross for the sake of imagery here, as it seemed it was, you had the Jews and you had these converted Gentiles. And they're both coming to this realization of life in Jesus Christ. The Jews were learning to trust. The Gentiles were learning to give up their selfishness and follow Christ. But you had the Gentiles and the Jews.
He says, He is our peace, who has made both one. And he's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And so I think those circles come together in the middle. And you no longer have two circles on each side, but they come together in the middle. The cross brings them together. And so you had the Jews and you had the Gentiles. And I'm going to say this morning that that principle is passionate in my heart and one of the reasons why I'm here at Ephrata. We don't have Jews here. I'd be happy if we had some converted Jews. I'd be excited about that. But we have a number of us who came from various conservative Anabaptist backgrounds, whether it's Amish, Mennonite, or Brethren. And we have a number here who did it. And I want to be a part of a church that has both of those. Because I believe that that is the will of God. And I'm deeply concerned about any context that we create in our church function, in our church culture. And we are going to have a culture here at Ephrata. Every church has one. Every congregation has one. But I'm very concerned about any culture that we create that does not have a path for anyone to be a part. And I know full well, some of you haven't heard my full testimony. I shared it in Bolivia, so Nathan and Helen got to hear it. But I know full well what it feels like to have a heart full of pride religiously and thinking that I have something other people don't. I have a knowledge other people don't. I have a spiritual monopoly, perhaps, that other people don't. I'll just share this one little tidbit. When I was 17 and my parents made the decision to leave Eastern, I was unhappy. I was very unhappy. I was becoming popular among the youth, and I had friends there, and I had a girl I liked, and she didn't like me yet, but I was wanting to go down that road, and now my parents were leaving Eastern, and that was not okay with me. So I went kicking and screaming, if you will. I went along, but I was not happy. And they drug me to Charity, of all places. There's a lot I could say about all of how that journey. But when we got to Charity and I started to feel I felt convicted. There was some things in the sermons that spoke to my heart, but these people, Brother Denny drove a two-tone van of all things. Whoever, what preacher drives a two-tone van? He had it, and I can still picture it to this day. And his van was yellow with a white stripe. And good Christians drive dark cars. And I knew that, much less a preacher. And I cannot tell you how long that took for God to break some of that in me. But I distinctly remember the day it happened. He made both one. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you've done or not done. I don't care what your heritage is. If you have red blood in your veins and a human heart beating in your body, then you are here. And but God applies to you. And for all of us who make this choice to allow God to bring that transformation into our lives, we become one. And it's still one of the greatest joys of my heart to travel to places I've never been, to meet people that I've never seen before, and be with them for just a few moments, and be able to tell who has experienced the but God. And there's a oneness. We don't have to even speak the same language, but there's a oneness. Do you know why? Because of the Spirit. The same Spirit that changes when we experience this transformation is the Spirit that bears witness in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, let us be a church where it is about oneness through the transformation of Jesus Christ. There's so many other things that we can rally around. And in our history here, and I'm speaking of the larger Charity movement, there are some things we've rallied around over the years.
There's some things that became a definition of who we were, who we are, who we were, whatever. Some of that's not all bad. But let's remember always that if we create a culture that focuses on something rather than someone, we'll become a social club of some sort. We can create entrance requirements and exits requirements, and we can create all kinds of constitutional things that surround our thing, whatever it is, that something. And quite honestly, brothers and sisters, we could look at almost every religious movement around us and find some of those somethings. But let's always have our somethings, whatever they are, be deeply subject to someone. And let's always be mindful of the fact that our somethings might need to shift if we gain more knowledge of someone. And let's never be okay with excluding someone based on our somethings whom someone has received. And I think that's what the passion of Jesus and Paul was as you go through the New Testament. I could say a lot more on those things, but I think you get the point. Let's be a church with no other agenda than to simply fulfill that will of God for us through a redeemed life in Christ Jesus. And it's revealed to us clearly through the New Testament. So Jesus came to reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. And actually, I skipped verse 15. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And that's what it was for these Jews and Gentiles. They had the ceremonial law, which wasn't a bad thing, but it stood between them. And Jesus abolished in his flesh that enmity, even that law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God. And keep in mind, Jesus is God, but we could put God the Father right above Jesus. They're one. And God reconciled both, and I'm going to say anyone, to himself by Jesus Christ. In one body, by the cross. That should be the church, brothers and sisters. That should be the ecclesia, the community of called out ones. Those who have been touched by the transformation that only Jesus can bring. Brought into one body by the cross, having slain the enmity that can stand between them. And yes, I'm going to tell you this morning, I appreciate my heritage. I'm grateful for the things I was taught growing up. But I will not hold them up as some superior thing for those of you who have not experienced them. And I'm going to say to some of you brothers and sisters, and you know who you are, I deeply appreciate the challenges that some of you have brought my way in that regard. When I preach out of a burden for the Anabaptist people, I in no way want to hold that up as some superior standard of something, something we are, or because it comes back to this body of believers in Jesus Christ. And when I fail, I will ask you forgiveness for that, because I want to be one body in Jesus Christ. And I believe that's who Jesus came to make us to be. He came and preached peace to you which are far off and to them that were nigh. And again, I could park on that for a bit. But if the way of the transgressor is hard, if the wages of sin is death, this path brings peace. It's not always easy, but there's fulfillment here. There's blessing here. There's peace here. And Moses, in Hebrews 11, when it talks about the choice he made, when he had the pleasures of Egypt on one hand, and the call of the people of God on the other, it was similar to this choice. And the words of Moses were that I would rather suffer affliction, if need be, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? Anybody know what he said is the reason why? He had respect to what? The recompense of the reward. That's correct. Brothers and sisters, in all of life, and I say this applies to so many things in life, but think of the end before the beginning. Young people, and some of you here haven't made a decision yet to follow Christ. You're here. Think about the end before the beginning. Moses said, I'd rather suffer some affliction with the people of God than to enjoy all these pleasures of sin, because he had respect unto the recompense of the award. Jesus came to bring peace. He preached peace. Through him, when you develop relationship with him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You can know God. You can know the God that created you in his image to be a reflection of who he is. You can know him. You can experience oneness with him. You can have life from God flowing into your heart, as these young people gave testimony to this morning. But it comes through the surrender to the cross of Christ, the work he did. And then, verse 19, therefore, after that happens, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Do you get the inclusivity that comes? So the question this morning is, do you know him? And there's an awful lot that flows out of that question. Because this isn't something where you make a cheap profession but continue to live after the works of the flesh. No, it's not. Do you know him in a way that has called for everything in your life? Total surrender. Willingness to die to the flesh. And I don't mean discipline the flesh. I mean die to the flesh. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to be human anymore. Doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake. But it does mean that you are surrendering the pursuit of fleshly desires to following Jesus Christ. And as you surrender to Jesus Christ, you'd be willing to die to those desires. And in that, you get power in your life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Does it get any more clear than that? But that's the path to this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that is what we should be founded on as a brotherhood and as a church. And in that, we have a ministry for the world. And in verse 21, I shouldn't skip 20, we're built then upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And all of a sudden, Scripture, which is one of my points for it's going to be another day, but all of a sudden, Scripture takes on a whole new level of illumination to us, because all of it is the apostles and prophets speaking to us about who he is. We're built on that foundation, and Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. And in him, all of the building, that's us as we're gathered together here, but in him, all of that building, fitly framed together, grows to a holy temple in the Lord. Doesn't that sound like a church you'd like to be part of? It does for me. But we need to be founded on Jesus Christ. This will provide a sound basis for real scriptural unity among us. And I do truly believe that we can be one. We can experience that unity. I'm going to try to quickly go through my second point because they go together. And then we'll let the rest for another day. But my second point, so the first one was that we need to be founded on Jesus Christ, lift him up, be centered around him. My second point is that my heart for us as a congregation is that we encourage relationship with Christ in a personal way. And it flows right out of that. If you're experiencing this redemption, now what? Well, we encourage relationship. And all of our interactions with each other become about that. John chapter 15, and I will not read all of this. And if there's more we have to bring out, I'll pick it up at a later time. But Jesus said in John 15, I am the true vine, the same Jesus that we've been talking about. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, so that it can bring forth more fruit. Now listen to verse 3, I love this. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So Jesus is saying, I'm the vine. You're all branches. And every branch that is attached to me and bears fruit, that's good. If it doesn't bear fruit, it gets pruned off. So our fruit matters.
And he says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. And as I thought about that word clean, it's such a contrast to everything we have on the other side. When we surrender ourselves to Jesus and give ourselves to relationship with him, we become clean in that way. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Verse 9, and our opening message today, herein, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. And it flows right out of relationship with Jesus and the fruit that comes forth from our life because of those things. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. What do you want for a congregation here at Ephrata? I'd like to be joyful. I'd like to enjoy coming together Sundays, which we do. I so treasure that camaraderie that we experience. Ted, you can jump up and say hallelujah anytime you want to. It's good. I like us to enjoy being together because of our relationship with him. That joyful experience is God's will for us to experience. And I would like, as we relate to each other in our church experience, to have that this platform of relationship with Jesus Christ, beginning with the new birth, be the central thing that we are concerned about. Sometime I'd like to bring a message here out of Romans 14. I don't think I've ever shared that message here. I have to go back and look. But it's a passion on my heart because he tells us, and I like Nathan's title. I guess he preached it here some years ago. His title for that is, I don't agree with you, now what? That's just the perfect title for that chapter. My title was Relationships in the Kingdom of God. But regardless what the title is, the principles that are given in that chapter are so powerful for understanding how we come together. But it all centers around this question. Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? And then we encourage righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost with each other. And so, being born again. There's more things that I could look at there, but I'm just going to let it there for the moment. That's part one. I don't know if the rest takes this long. We'll have maybe part three till we're done, or four. But you know what, brothers and sisters? The future is bright if we surrender ourselves to God and follow his plan. And that is my heart as I step into the saddle here with Nathan and Brian and with James. And perhaps God will give us another deacon here before too long. And we together work in the context of all of you as brothers and sisters to follow God. He will breathe life. He will pour his spirit upon us. And not only will it be okay, we will thrive and he will glorify himself in us. And I know that Brother Mose would have no greater joy than to know that we have an engaging path forward like that. So, but we don't do it for Mose. We do it for him. Mose was a good example and a great blessing to us in so many ways. But brothers and sisters, it's about him. Let's keep our hearts centered there. Let's follow him with passion and with zeal. And let it not only be our young people, but from the oldest of us to the youngest of us, let us all have that shared passion and goal of living out our faith in Jesus Christ. That song, I don't know how many of you remember it. Dorcas Stutzman wrote that song shortly after she got converted. It's Jesus Christ. How many of you know that song? Who cleansed my heart and made me whole. It's Christ the Lord. Oh, let the hallelujahs roll. His name is wonderful. Counselor, it's written in my soul. And she penned that song shortly after she experienced a glorious transformation from the works of darkness into the kingdom of light. And I've always enjoyed the message of that hymn. There's certainly more to the Christian life than just what that hymn brings, but that is the foundation. Let it be about Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention and God bless each of you.
Yes, amen. Thank you for that message there, brother. Appreciate the foundation of our keeping our focus on Jesus Christ and maintaining that relationship with him. perhaps there's more that can be said, but I think I'm just going to open it up and let give opportunity for others to give testimony regarding the message here this morning. Does anyone have anything else they want to add to the message there? Brother Ephraim. I will say this much. I'm looking forward to part 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever you got there, brother, whatever the Lord lays on your heart.
A big hearty amen to the message. That was refreshing, and I certainly want to identify with it. I remember so clearly when I found my way to the Lord and He found me and coming to the cross. I just remember so clearly getting to know all these people that I had never met before, and it was just like the moment they stepped in through our doors, coming to encourage us in the Word and encourage us to follow Jesus, there was just a witness of the Spirit. These are my people. I'm one of them. And it was not hard to know that all that I had to give up was worth it, and that glorious light of the gospel that I had found, I wasn't going to let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my eyes were on it. I was going for it. And just Carl brought up the cultural things and how those can shift from perhaps being a good thing to coming in the way of the gospel working, and very much identify with that. You know, there's things about my background, my upbringing that I appreciate, but I'm sure glad that we have many other perspectives here, many other backgrounds, many other different experiences. And when we come together in that way and are able to bend and blend with each other and encourage each other in the Lord, it's wonderful. And just the confusion that the Lord brought me away from of what the world is, coming from, oh, that's worldly, that's worldly, that's worldly, and these things that I allow myself, that the church allows isn't, to realizing that the world is all that's contrary to Christ, all that's in rebellion against Him, all that's going a different way. And just remember very clearly one day pulled into a gas station and an old acquaintance of mine was there, and he came to reprove me for taking the way of the world. And I was able to testify to him of Jesus and the truth in Him, and confessed that I hated the world now much more than I ever did before. And he just couldn't, that didn't make any sense to him. I was sitting behind the wheel and he was sitting behind the reins. Of course I was part of the world and he wasn't. I could go on and on. It's just, I'm jealous too that we don't lose that simple following after Christ,
mm-hmm.
being at the foot of the cross, and the ground is level there. We don't have all these status things of, you know, some being way up there and others way down here and whatever. In the church, we can look at each other on the same level, and let's keep that. I'll go back again to my early Christian experience and of that witness of the Spirit, of those that came that really had their eyes on Christ. And it didn't take me long to realize that not all that profess the name are there, and that there's a Spirit that, you know, you have to look for and identify with if it's the right Spirit. Discern the spirits. There was one that professed Christ. He didn't confess Him. He professed Him. And he was trying to tell me how God showed him in the Scriptures that he didn't need to be a part of the church. And I had a beautiful enough experience by that point that I just knew for sure that that was not the way I was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to justify not being a part of a church? Come on. Church should be beautiful, and it is if it's on track, where we look forward to it. It's the best day of the week. Hey, it's Sunday morning. We get to go to church. And we get to be encouraged, and we go back home and know it was worth it all. And in 7 days, we can go to church again. We're looking forward to it. I'm very jealous that we can maintain that. I'm thankful that it is there. And I realize that, you know, maybe there's people here sitting here with unresolved issues in their heart that keeps them from getting that same joy and edification when they come together, where maybe they'd rather be other places. If you're there, search your heart. Ask the Lord to search your heart and take care of those unresolved issues, and come to the foot of the cross if you're not there, and you can have that same experience. And for Brother Ted and many of us, yeah, we say it doesn't get any better than this, but there might be others here that say, well, I wish it were a whole lot better. Look into your heart. If you're not experiencing the blessing of Jesus Christ, the all things new, you can be there. You can experience that as well.
Amen. Yeah, it's hard when you're standing on the other side. When you're at this point here and you got to make that decision, it's really hard to see the blessings of what it is that we can experience by living in Christ, because you haven't experienced it yet. You have to move forward in faith. It's a faith choice. Go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to give a hearty amen to the message. I really appreciate that the things that were shared and the vision being just laid out like this again about the focus that we need to have as a church on Jesus Christ and the message of the cross, the choice we make to follow Him versus the way of the world, the vision of the end goal. You know, the example of Moses being lifted up again, I really appreciate that. We need to have the respect unto the recompense of the reward. And truly my testimony is that the way of the cross is the way of blessing. Yeah. And is worth it all to follow Jesus. But just really appreciate the refreshment of the focus on Christ that we need to have as a body. And I trust going forward that we will grow in that. May God be glorified.
Brother Kent.
Amen to the message also. And I'm somewhat of a visual learner. And so, Brother Carl, I'm not sure if the way you drew that is exactly how you had it on your paper, or if you're doing it extemporaneously as you're drawing it. But I would have made a very symmetric deviation from the point of going to Jesus or going to the world. And I appreciate that you made going to the world a lot quicker and a shorter distance to go to, that it does take some effort to get to that foot of that cross. And so there's more choice that's made to do that. And the world is always going to tease us with the things that it thinks are sparkly and glittery and makes us want to go that direction until we allow ourselves to think of Jesus and realize that, no, it's there. It could be there for a moment, but that's not what we want. But it's usually going to be closer than the things of God until we get closer to God. So again, I just appreciate even how that illustration so wonderfully portrays the choice that each of us do have to make. And potentially, as you shared, not just once, but maybe multiple times throughout the day, depending on what the situation is. So thank you for that, brother.
Yeah, thank you for that, brother. One verse that someone shared with me as a new believer was in James, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And you know, here we have a choice. We can choose to draw nigh to Jesus, or we can choose to draw nigh to the world. And there's a promise in that if we draw near to Jesus, He will draw near to us, and we can bank on that. We can take that promise to the bank. I believe there's a sister over here that would like to share.
Well, I have to say, my heart is overflowing with joy today. I never believed I'd see my 3 grandchildren being up here. That's such an answer of prayer. And the message was just wonderful and beautiful. I just thank you for that too. But I am overjoyed today. My heart is overflowing.
Yes, amen, sister. We are rejoicing with you. Go ahead, Rachel.
I'd also like to say, I often think of the verse visiting the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And I thought of this today, that it was broken at Flat Willow when I became a Christian. And now I see it going on into the next generation. Mm-hmm. And I'm just amazed at how good God is and how faithful and kind to us. And I just praise Him and thank Him for it.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Susie.
I'd like to say, I was 12 years old when I felt that the Lord has touched my heart, but I didn't tell anyone. I didn't know what to do with it. And then fell into sin until years later I knew what it was. But I was so touched this morning with our youth, those precious souls. As we're getting older, we need to not let them just walk by themselves. We need to be there for them and with them and pray them through. And I am so willing to do that. If there's the younger sisters where I can help, I am very open. Praying with you and talking to you of my experiences. You have been taught very well. And I want to be there with you. And as I'm getting older, my physical appetite gets less, but the spiritual smorgasbord gets greater weekly. And I am so blessed to be part of this church. God bless you all.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing and making that offer. And I would encourage the younger sisters to take advantage of that offer. Go ahead, sister.
I had a privilege of having Isaac. He sneaks up sometimes and me and him have conversations. I often brought up the subject about where he's at, and he always said he's getting baptized, but he didn't tell me that he's sharing a testimony today. So I was overjoyed to hear. He's always a little shy when I talk about it, but he was open. He said, I'm making headways. And I said, Isaac, I never want to hear that something happens to you and you didn't give your heart to God. That would be the end of my life. Me and him are so close. We often share stuff like this. And he was always open about it and sweet about it. And so I had confidence. But he didn't tell me that he'll share today. But I'm so glad I could be here today. I had pretty rough days the last couple of weeks, but I'm better now. Thank you, Jesus, for these young people.
Amen. Jesus is faithful.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.